Sing to him a new song. Where do we go from here now that convention is coming to an end? How can we take the lessons the Lord has provided and the rich fellowship and the testimony shared to drive us to faithfulness to honor our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Later this evening, we will cap off this week with hymns of praise and adoration for all the Lord's many blessings. There will be songs of joy and praise that will fill our hearts as we participate and as we listen to those that have worked so hard to please the Lord through instrument and voice. Having the privilege of having the last discourse, I was looking forward to the Lord's guidance on what to speak on. And the seed of an idea from one of my dear brethren touched my heart as the idea inspired me instantly. I told the brother to look behind me on a picture on the wall where my camera on the computer was pointing and said, "You mean this scripture?" And the painting or the artwork is Psalm 33:3, "Sing unto him a new song." And we were given this as a gift from the Beaver family, which they left this morning to head home. And they gave it to us several years ago. And there's so many reasons why I love this. One of the reasons is that is special to me is I was a woodworker and I love the rustic look. I used to work with oak and pine. And also there are birds on it. So if you know me, you know that I love birds. And my favorite birds on this painting are the mourning doves. And the mourning doves symbolize love, hope, renewal, and peace. I also like to go outside and sing back and forth to the doves as I try to copy their cooing. And I heard a dove this morning, by the way. But I love the scripture quoted, Psalm 33:3, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy." Not only is it easy to remember because of the pattern of the number three, but also it has a personal meaning to me. I was a singer all my life because my dad was a middle school music teacher and a choir director at the Methodist Church. And I sang in choirs at church and later in high school. And during that time, I sang harmony with a friend at different venues. How grateful I am that the Lord stopped that vain career. And the songs we sang really had no value or importance. They were just entertainment. I remember the day and the place our Heavenly Father put a new song in my heart when I was being drawn. The song was about Jesus who died for me, a sinner. How thankful I am to have received the truth and to have been called. As time went on, verses were added as I developed more understanding of the richness of God and his plan. Do you remember when you were given your new song? Does your song have a theme in your life in Christ? When I think about my theme, those that are close to me know that it's the allness of God's plan. Why? Because no one is left out. Salvation for all is what drives me. That simple three-letter word, all, is my favorite word in the Bible. Did you know that the phrase, "sing to him a new song," is found 9 times in the scriptures? The first time it's mentioned is in Psalm 33:3. Let's go on a journey and look at each time this phrase is written to see whom it is written, when it applies, and how God, his complete plan of salvation is shown through all of them. All nine of the scriptures in their context are a composition that include human tragedy, discord, crying, desperation, rescue, hope, victory, trust, exaltation, and miracles. Musically, there are soloists, choirs, strumming and plucking instruments, trumpeting, and perfect pitch. God is the composer, and he has personally titled it, "Sing to Me a New Song." Let's begin with the first scripture in the New Testament that mentions the phrase, "Sing a New Song." That's found in Revelation 5:9. Let's read verses 9 and 10. "And they sing a new song, saying, 'Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and didst purchase unto God with thy blood, as out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they shall reign over the earth.'" The New Testament words "sing a new song" correspond very nicely to the Old Testament meanings. The word "sing" means sing. The word "new" means new, especially in freshness. Song is defined as a chant or an ode, a lyrical poem meant to be sung. And you might ask, why start in the New Testament? Because there's no new song anywhere or at any time without Jesus, the Lamb of God. This verse tells us only Jesus is worthy because of his great ransom sacrifice that purchased mankind with his blood and made us priests to bless all the families of the earth. This reign is a heavenly picture over the earth. Can you imagine the united voices of the heavenly host singing a song titled, "Worthy Art Thou"? So our new song is a direct result of Jesus' faithfulness. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The reason we began there is because there can be no new song without Jesus. Now, let's go to a new song found in Psalm 40, verse 3. Let's read verses 1 through 5. "I waited patiently for Jehovah, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, and even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in Jehovah. Blessed is the man that maketh Jehovah his trust. Many, O Jehovah my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered." This new song refers to the calling during the gospel age. I can really relate to this song because God heard my cry coming from the horrible pit and the mire stuck in the sticky mud of sin. Then comes God's grace. He set my feet upon a rock, which is Jesus, my personal Savior, and gave me firm steps with his yoke of stability to walk in the narrow way. The next point in the verse, in verse 4, is very personal to me. It reads, "Many will trust in Jehovah." Blessed is the man that maketh Jehovah his trust. The theme for my marriage with Sister Jewel is engraved in my wedding ring, Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our new song is Following Jesus and Trusting in Our Heavenly Father's Providence. And we sing or witness to others the good news of Christ's kingdom. Volume 6, page 295, quote, as already pointed out, every member of the new creation is called to preach, and not by his ambition or imaginations, but by the word, which calls upon all who receive the grace of God, not in vain, to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This call includes, therefore, all begotten of the Spirit of truth, male and female, bond and free, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, black, brown, red, yellow, and white. What further commission is needed than this? He hath put a new song in my mouth, even the loving kindness of Jehovah. End quote. When we read verse 5 in Psalm 40, it says, if I would declare and speak of God's wonderful works and thoughts on our behalf, they are more than can be numbered. Is that the way we feel? We have too many blessings to count. We are commissioned to tell out God's words and all his tender care done on our behalf as a witness to others. The point of Psalm 40 in singing a new song is the journey of the church from sin to sanctification and to being a witness to God's goodness during the development of Christ. Christ in you. Now let's look at Psalm 33:3 and read verses 1 through 5 from the Weymouth translation and break down each verse. Verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Praise is fitting for the upright. Who is being spoken about in this verse? The righteous. And the upright, those who are justified and have the robe of Christ's righteousness. The context of the scripture is showing us again a gospel age picture, and it tells us to rejoice and praise. Let's look at a comment from Brother Russell in reprint 20:31. Quote, the writings of David and all the prophets and the apostles as well abound in fervent expression of praise and thanksgiving to God. They not only praise the Lord themselves lovingly and gratefully, recounting all the mercies, but with impassioned eloquence and holy enthusiasm. They call upon all the sons of men and everything that hath breath to laud and magnify his holy name. The worshipers are also bidden to bring with them to the concert of praise every musical instrument of human device, and grateful reverence exclaims, blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Rejoicing and the spirit of praise are thus seen to be linked together in the divine economy. And so David links them, making the two, rejoice and praise, almost synonymous. End quote. Now to verse 2 of Psalm 33. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. These are two different stringed instruments, and they are labeled as the lyre, spelled L-Y-R-E, and the harp. What are the differences between the two instruments? With the harp, the strings enter the body of the instrument through a soundboard, and these strings you pluck. With a lyre, their strings pass over the bridge that create vibrations, much like a guitar, strings that you strum. Notice the harp has 10 strings. We know the number 10 in the Bible means completeness and perfection. What is the lesson? We are to give thanks and sing praises with everything we have in the most complete sense. The word sing in the second verse is Strong's number 2167, and it means to celebrate with song, striking the fingers, touch the strings, play and make music. Verse 3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. Let's do a word study to understand verse 3. The word sing in this verse is different from verse 2. This word is Strong's number 7891 and means strolling as a minstrel to sing. So my take on this is that it's something we actively do as we follow in Christ's footsteps. The word new is Strong's number 2319, and that means a new thing or fresh. Here's a question we can each ask ourselves when we look in the mirror. Does my song have the same freshness as when I started my Christian walk? The next word, song, is Strong's number 7892, defined as a song or singing. The word play is Strong's number 5059, and that means to strum, that is, beat a tune with fingers, play a stringed instrument. Strumming and beating a tune at the same time takes talent. Many guitar players can hit the wood to make a beat while strumming the strings at the same time. The next word is skillfully, Strong's 3190, which means make well, sound beautiful, and be pleasing. It takes focus to perform at the highest level. And that takes practice, scrutinizing our thoughts and words and deeds. Helps us to give of our best to the master. And the last words is shout, Strong's number 8643, which means clamor, a noise, that is acclamation of joy or a battle cry. To sum up verse 3, we are to sing and strum to the beat as we make pleasing sounds with acclamation of joy, all to the glory of God. Truth must have beautiful energy behind it. Here's another mirror question to ask ourselves. Do I wear joy as part of my demeanor? Let's go to Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. All his work is done in faithfulness. God's word and his deeds are done in righteousness and faithfulness. Do we sing about God's word being the absolute authority for finding truth? Verse 5, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Based on verses 4 and 5, the strings we play are God's faithfulness, his righteousness, his justice, and his love. Because of these attributes, God provided the ransom, and I want to sing about that more often to honor my Savior. Let's read again a quote from Reprint 2031. Brother Russell's new song is evident. Quote, it is plain, therefore, that in the cultivation of the spirit of praise, thanksgiving, and loving appreciation of all the manifest goodness of God is the Christian secret of a happy life. And in order to cultivate of such a spirit, it is necessary that we continually call to mind his acts of mercy and grace. That is our prayer as we frequently tell him how all his goodness is remembered, how every fresh evidence of his love and care causes faith to take deeper root, and makes the sense of his presence and favor more fully realized. And how through such experiences, our love and joy are made to abound more and more. We love him because he first loved us. And every time we see some new mark of his love, our love, if we have truly appreciative hearts, is called out more and more. And we are made to rejoice in God, in whose presence is fullness of joy. Just beautiful words, a beautiful heart that wrote those words. The point in Psalm 33 describes the church established in the Lord as living examples of Jesus. A great example of this is Paul and Silas singing in prison. We find this in Acts 16:23-25. They were praying and singing hymns after a cruel beating. Their example to the other prisoners and the jailer was a witness of God's goodness that converted many that night to follow Jesus. Another mirror question. Do I have hymns memorized for moments like these? In our case, we don't know who is watching and how our new song will be received. We need to just keep singing. Let's review. So far, we have seen that without Jesus, there is no new song. Worthy is the Lamb. Next, we looked at the journey of the church from sin to being sanctified as a witness. And lastly, the established church as living examples of Jesus. Our next scripture is Psalm 149:1. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Praise ye Jehovah, sing unto Jehovah a new song, and praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For Jehovah taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints exalt in glory. The rest of this chapter describes the saints judging the world based on God's word and executing that judgment. What an honor. Praise ye Jehovah. The word praise begins and ends this chapter. Praise is Strong's number 1984, and it means to be clear of sound and color, to shine, to celebrate. So this is saying, celebrate Jehovah. Sing to Jehovah a new song. Do you see where this singing and praising is going on? In the assembly of the saints in heaven. They, the complete bride of Christ, are all together dancing, singing, and playing instruments. And I love this part, where Jehovah is pleased. The lesson of Psalm 149, is that this new song is sung when all the faithful have been chosen and God takes great pleasure in them. Then comes the judgment. Our next song is focused on natural Israel, Psalm 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. The word psaltery is Strong's number 5035, and it means a lyre or stringed instrument with 10 strings. This chapter is all about Israel needing to be rescued and delivered from their deceitful enemies. After God's salvation, then they will sing a new song. This sounds like a possible description of the prayer Israel will give as they call upon God to save them from the great battle they will face. After their deliverance, they will go right into the peaceable kingdom. When David wrote this psalm, he poured out his heart to ask God for protection from their enemies. Let's look back in Israel's history when they sang together because of great deliverance. Here's where Brother Russell explains Exodus 15, 1 through 21, the Song of Moses and Israel in reprint 27:28. Quote, realizing their deliverance from bondage and the divine power exercised in their behalf in the overthrow of the Egyptian army, the Israelites were joyful. Moses, their great teacher, composed a poem of much force and beauty. Then men chanted it after Moses, and the women, under the leadership of Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, took tambourines and joined in the refrain or chorus, their bodies swaying and their feet moving rhythmically in what is described as a dance. Sing ye to the Lord Jehovah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Singing songs of praise constitutes one of the most interesting and most profitable methods of worship. End quote. Israel is waiting to sing a new song. They haven't sung it yet. Psalm 144 is describing Israel's need for God's protection and deliverance from its enemies. When we are faced with great enemies, what should we do? The manna from July 4th. It gives us a proper heart attitude toward our enemies. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah 53:1. The call of the church in the present time is to let the light shine and thus attract persecution and to endure the persecution for righteousness' sake and to be rightly exercised by it in patience, brotherly kindness, pity, and love toward the persecutors and toward all men. Our next new song is found in Psalm 98, verse 1. And I really appreciate this. Brother O.B. opened convention at devotion in reading these verses. So it's kind of a bookend of our convention. And I just, only the Lord can do something so beautiful for us. This again is focused on natural Israel. Let's read verses 1 through 6 and verse 9. Oh, sing unto Jehovah a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath wrought salvation for him. Jehovah hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the nations. He hath remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Make a joyful noise unto Jehovah, all the earth. Break forth the singing for joy. Yes, sing praises. Sing praises unto Jehovah with the harp and the voice of melody, with straight trumpets and the sound of ram's horn trumpets. Make a joyful noise before the King, Jehovah. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The context of Psalm 98 shows us the earthly kingdom. God's deliverance for his people and his salvation will be the theme. When I think of a ram's horn, I think of Israel. Can you imagine the song of joy coming from them? And then all the nations will see their salvation and will break forth in song and praise. Trumpets will be added to this new song. I can picture King David in this moment. Why do you think he was a man after God's own heart? He outwardly expressed his love for the Lord without reservation. He would sing, dance, write songs, and play instruments, all to the glory of God. He was genuine, and he wore his heart on his sleeve, meaning he openly expressed his feelings and emotions. Mirror question. How do I outwardly express my love for God without reservation? What are the main points when we that we have seen with Israel? Psalm 144, it describes Israel's need for protection and deliverance from their enemies. Here in Psalm 98, it describes Israel being delivered and they sing their messianic praise. The next text for a new song is found in Psalm 96, verse 1. Now, this is focused on the world of mankind, reading verses 1 through 4 and verse 10. Oh, sing unto Jehovah a new song. Sing unto Jehovah all the earth. Sing unto Jehovah, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works are among all the peoples. For great is Jehovah and greatly to be praised. Say among the nations, Jehovah reigneth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. What a beautiful kingdom picture. All the earth singing unto Jehovah and blessing his name. Their song is titled, Jehovah reigneth. So this begs the question, is this new song sung throughout the millennial age? Reprint 3999, Brother Russell is explaining that the new song is not yet complete. Quote, it is not its complete fulfillment. That will be attained when all the people of God shall have been found, when the Lord's mercy during the millennial age shall have opened the blind eyes of the world, the unstopped the deaf ears, caused the knowledge of the Lord to fill the whole earth, and gathered all who are truly the Lord's to himself. And during the millennial age shall have lifted them out of the bondage of sin and death and brought them into full harmony with the divine standard by the process of restitution. End quote. Yes, the world of mankind will have this new song put upon their hearts. Psalm 96:1 describes the world being delivered, and they too sing their messianic praise. Recapping. So far, we have followed this new song from 1, worthy is the Lamb. 2, the church taken from sin to sanctification and witnessing to all. 3, the church established as living examples of Jesus. 4, the church glorified. 5, Israel needing deliverance. 6, Israel delivered. 7, the world delivered. Now we have 2 more to go. Our last Old Testament text, Sing a New Song, is found in Isaiah 42, verse 10. Looking at the context, verses 1 through 4 are prophetically describing Jesus bringing justice to the earth. In verse 5, it begins with God as the focus, declaring that he created the heavens and the world. He gave breath to all people. Then there's a transition. He also gives his spirit to them that walk in righteousness for a covenant of the people. That's the faithful church class. For what purpose? Verse 7 tells us the church is going to open the blind eyes and bring the prisoners out from the prison house of death for the future restoration work. In verse 9, Jehovah declares, these new things are coming. What a privilege to heal and help raise the dead. All to the glory of God. Now let's read verse 10. Sing unto Jehovah a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. All shall praise him. This is how the Old Testament wraps up this new song. What a plan. Isaiah 42 declares the whole plan of God's deliverance from sin and death because of Jesus' sacrifice. Death, God verifies being the creator of all things. And finally, all of his willing creation sing praises on a global scale. Our final scripture with sing to him a new song is found in Revelation 14:3. We started in Revelation with worthy is the Lamb, and we will end in Revelation with an exclusive song from the glorified church. These are beautiful bookends for this lesson. We'll now read Revelation 14:1-4. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice which I heard was a voice of harpers harping. And they sing a new song before the throne. And no man can learn the song save the 144,000. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. This pictures faithfulness of the complete church in heaven, praising God and singing a new song only the 144,000 can sing. This is an exclusive song reserved only for them. God's divine family singing in perfect pitch with exquisite harmonies and instruments glorifying God and our dear Redeemer, Jesus Christ. What a way to conclude this ninth beautiful text, singing unto him a new song. Brother Russell states in reprint 2570, quote, the angel declares to the revelator that no man can learn to sing this song except the elect, the 144,000, the little flock. It is necessary to be somewhat of an overcomer of the world and its spirit, which pervades nominal Christendom, ere any would have the courage to sing this song, to declare before men the lengths and breadths and heights and depths of the goodness of the grace of the divine plan, of which Jesus and his sacrifice are the center. To all others, the fear of man bringeth a snare and stoppeth their mouths from speaking forth the praises of him who called them out of darkness into their marvelous light. End quote. What does this all mean now that we've covered all nine places where we read the phrase, sing to him a new song? This theme, when put together, gives us God's composition of bringing everything back into harmony with him. Jesus is the solution and featured soloist. This is the true hallelujah chorus. Who can sing this new song? Number one, the world cannot sing this new song yet without knowing God's plan or having his spirit. Two, the Israelites, when living under God's favor, had a better song than the world had, but it was not fresh or brand new. Three, during the gospel age, the Christians in name only had a better song than the Israelites because they believed in Jesus, the Messiah, but they didn't sing the new song. We know that all are not called to the high calling. Without knowing the good news for all, the ransom, they are not able to sing this new song now. The confusion from the false doctrines, especially hellfire, will need to be corrected before they can sing the good news of great joy to all people. Four, on the other hand, the call of the new creation during the gospel age have this new song upon their hearts. They are living examples of following Christ and his spirit. Five, the saints, the bride class, have been singing this song so deeply, so loyally for so long that the sound of it was raised above all others. This song permeated every part of their lives, and it will have no end. Six, the great company, after they have washed their robes, will sing this new song in heaven before the throne in a fresher way than they had ever done before. Number seven, the Jews, at their dramatic deliverance from battle, will recognize Messiah and have God's Spirit poured out upon them. And the heroes of faith will be the first to be resurrected on earth. And the nation will sing this new song to God for fulfilling all his promises. And lastly, number eight, the Gentiles during the resurrection will begin to sing the new song. And it will become contagious and it will spread over the whole globe. God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, Acts 2:17. This good news can't be held in. This new song is beautifully described in Revelation 5:12 and 13, saying, "With a great voice, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things that are in them heard I saying, unto him that sitteth on the throne, unto the Lamb, be blessing and honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Do you see how thoroughly our Heavenly Father throughout the ages provided songs and a new song at every stage? We look forward to the day that every spirit being in heaven and every human being on earth together are singing this glorious new song in perfect harmony. To God be the glory. My prayer for all of you, dear brethren, is that your new song has more clarity and freshness after being blessed here at convention. So turn up the volume of your new song. God be praised.